ask a real question about me, my Portuguese heritage?
Yeah.
Like, you know, people talk about representation, people of color. Mm. Like, is it completely not me?
It is completely not you.
Why, yeah. Now, why is that? Why do I not get a say?
Just do a real tight zoom. And so zoomed in that it's pixelated on Chuck's white face.
Is that? Oh, now it's about skin tone. You're just like, what's his name? From Hamilton, right?
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Oh, yeah.
Hamilton.
He got in trouble because when they made that movie last summer, he cast too many light-skinned black people. They said he didn't cast any darker-skinned black people. So it was kind of like a...
Wow, we are truly splitting hairs. It's wild.
In culture, you mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there has to be a problem with everything.
Oh, right? For sure.
Yeah. Like, I just saw on Twitter somebody talking about how AI stuff is... like, AI art... is dumb because everybody's using some sky something or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and
Sky Rizzy,
broad skies, and
blue skies on Mars.
They
I already did Sky Rizzy and nobody knows what that is.
I don't know what that is.
I know blue skies on Mars.
Yeah,
Sky Rizzy is like a treatment for skin like eczema or something.
Oh. Do you know what mine is?
Oh,
it's from Total Recall.
And I never saw Total Recall.
Wow.
But that's how well I know that.
That's great.
Little Easter egg.
And I think we fit with Total Recall very well because we're just three tits.
Nice.
You know what joke we never told them? Actually, you were telling something, so let's finish your thing.
Okay, yeah. I forgot what it was.
We were talking about blue skies.
Yeah, so people are making AI art, right. and there's like whole websites or forums and Reddit things and Twitter based on talking about what prompts to put into it to get the desired art.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And somebody was talking about it like, please stop talking about your AI art as if you are an artist. Like, you're putting the prompts in.
Right.
And the language around it, you're not, like, you're a different level of creator. You're using this thing.
Right.
And they had a cogent argument. Mine sounds colder.
Right.
Their cogent argument was right on, because a lot of these like AI artists, people are now starting to talk as if they
are creating making, a thing.
Right. Yeah. And like they've started talking about ownership. Like, hey, all the prompts that I put in, like those are mine to make this stuff.
Wow.
And it's like, guys, you're so close to getting the point of why this is bad, right? Yeah. People are taking my writing prompts for the AI art.
Yeah, that's funny. It's
like, people are taking art to do it.
Yeah.
But, somebody had posted that, and then someone underneath that talking about how ridiculous the discourse is in culture now. Everything has to have you know, an antithesis to it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somebody wrote underneath it. They commented like, I use my AI art because it's the way I can actually make these images. It's actually incredibly ableist of you to say that. And it's just like, you don't know how to do art, and you don't know how to use words that have meaning behind them. You know what I mean? It's so, like, I think we're at a point where you can say ableist because been so overused for literally anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If I say, hey, you're running your mouth, like, actually, that's incredibly ableist because some people can't run and some people can't even use their mouth.
That's true.
Also, have you seen The Matrix? At one point, he didn't even have a mouth.
That's right.
That is true.
That's Deadpool. Scary. Wolverine.
Merc with a mouth.
They took away his mouth.
They did.
No, the thing I was going to say,
all those poor people that got sewed together for that centipede. Yeah.
They lost their agency. There's a... Brad often is like, is the joke of the day guy or the joke of the weekend guy, joke of the
that
year.
That calendar you have, right?
Yeah. He always, like, he often hits this, like, thing out of the park. And he did one when
A snipe. Yeah.
And when we did the Clerks live show in New Jersey, he had the joke of the weekend. We never talked about it on the podcast.
I don't remember it.
Well, I kept saying that everyone is calling us the Gay Three Stooges. Remember I kept saying that? Yeah. Which is...
We had a good run in the car that was very private. And I, often in those moments, I will be the person that goes... This should be the podcast, right? Like, that's what happened. And we've never been able to recreate that match.
No.
But the idea was like, I think the joke for me was like, we didn't know why everyone was referring to us as that.
Yeah.
And like, people keep doing it. And we're like, and we were going through it and we were like, man, people keep calling us the Gay Three Stooges. We need a fourth. And then Brad said, guys, I found a fourth, but you're not going to love it. And it's like, what's his name? And he goes, Gay Shemp. That was so, we were laughing at that. So it was 3 a.m, but yes. Laughing at that. Yeah. That was great.
And then we did have a long discussion about how, you know, the levels of appropriate there are in using
gay
sexuality as the crux of a joke.
Right.
Yeah.
But we weren't doing that. We weren't in the car being like, you're gay and stuff like that. No.
The joke was like, so it's like, oh yeah, they're like the gay 3 Stooges. And we're like, the idea would be us being like looking at each other and like what? Not knowing how similar. Or, you know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things.
I love it.
Me and Brad walked up to some people one time in the mall. And I don't know if you remember this.
And did the person go, it's Brad and I.
And it was someone we didn't know. And we had to talk to them. It was like for like a movie screening or something. And they went, haha. And we're like, hey, what's up? Like, they laughed when they saw us. And we're like, what's funny? And they were like, you guys look like the Impractical Jokers.
I don't remember that at all.
That's great.
Isn't that wicked?
That sounds like a fun burn at like a black barber shop. Yeah. Like, you guys walk in and you go, look at these Impractical Joker looking motherfuckers, right? Yeah. I'd be like, oh damn, they got me. I gotta go. I gotta leave.
That
I
was
can't
the other thing.
Here.
I was like,
before I leave, which? I mean, I know which one I am. I know which one I am. But what about this guy?
It was so funny though.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Speaking of talking off mic.
Yes. Yeah.
We collectively.
Yeah. The collective we.
The collective we, the royal I,
right.
Have an outlet for our viewers and listeners.
We do.
To reach out to us.
Right.
On social media at FunBearablePod on most things, if not all. And also our email address is funbearablepod@gmail.com.
Right.
And often people will clicky-clack on their keyboard.
I know.
Yep.
And they'll send us missives.
It's like a mini headless horseman.
Yes. Yeah.
They'd have
what
that
a
rhythm.
Weird way to describe it.
Yes. I was like, well, I don't understand why.
I feel like because we're in a conference room.
I'm like, Brad, check the mail. He checks it. The flaming pumpkin. Yeah.
I feel like because we're in a conference room in a hotel and we're doing this and it feels like a press kind of junket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does. I immediately felt like I was in Silicon Valley and we were trying to raise like VC funding. For your new idea for like an email or social media.
Yeah.
Called Revere.
That's not bad.
That's all right.
Revere is a good name for like, we got to get the word out.
Yeah. People want to revere it.
That's
yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah.
No, Paul Revere.
No, I know. But the Revere also
you're
means
using
like
it,
revere. Admire.
Yes.
Revere
right.
it.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that.
I wonder if Paul ever used that.
He
Did
should.
Paul Revere ever go, you know, you know, when I, when all this is over. When this whole war is over,
yep.
people will.
They'll me.
They'll me. Everybody's like, oh, God. First statue goes up, it's like, asshole Paul Revere.
By the way, we haven't talked about why we're in a conference room. Nope. I think maybe it'd be smart if we went around the table and explained from each point of view.
Absolutely.
Because we took a vote and we said we should record in the conference room. Yes. Why did you vote that you wanted us to record in here?
Well, sometimes in a conference room in a hotel, what will happen is like a speed dating kind of thing will happen.
Yeah.
And what I thought would be good is maybe kind of like a speed host kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah. Where we would see the chemistry between different hosts of FunBearable.
Yeah.
Maybe that means one of you is replaced. Maybe that means I'm replaced.
Right.
Maybe it means all three of us are replaced.
And that's the most likely outcome. Yeah.
And then we all end up on a podcast where we're like, I don't even know about that.
The new podcast called Damn, What Happened? FunBearable is blowing up.
And then we get to watch.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. What about you? Why are we in the conference room?
The reason I voted that we start recording here from now on is because like it's, you know how they say that like when you go on stage, it's like you got to just bomb and get used to it sometimes. You got to
Is that what they told you?
They just hey, just what? For the
they
rest
told
of your
you
life.
That for
they
the
said
the first few
forever.
Times you did stand up.
Yeah, they said that. And so
I
figured
heard that advice.
If we could just be in this empty room
and
say funny things and just hear them echo off the wall, complete silence, we'll be bulletproof eventually, and it won't hurt us. You
that
know what
is,
I mean?
Yeah, that's what they yeah, I like that.
Why did you vote for us to do it here?
I wanted to use the hotel pool, number one.
That's right. That's
where I feel the safest swimming because it's 3.5 feet deep.
Yeah.
And
if you panic, you just stand up.
Yes.
Yeah.
and I've only almost drowned once.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good.
Also, sometimes they leave the, like the waffle bar out.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so we can sneak down there and grab a waffle.
I tried to do that when we got here today.
Ooh, that's clever. Yeah, I like that.
I was saw all these people like in tables at the front, and I was like, oh my God, we made the breakfast. And I'm clawing my way over, but they were just like hanging out.
No breakfast.
Yeah, not at 2:30 p.m. There wasn't a breakfast.
That's Chuck's breakfast.
Yes.
Chuck's breakfast.
It's true.
I also voted to do it in this big empty conference room with this one round table.
Yeah.
Because I figured it was a lot cleaner and easier for after the podcast. We could move the table and we do our classic wrestling.
Yeah.
The three of us do wrestle.
Yeah.
And then whoever wins the wrestle decides what the topic is for the next episode.
That's how we do it.
Yeah.
And also, you know, when we do it in the Comedy Connection, we do the same thing, but we just knock over so much stuff.
Oh, man. So much Corey stuff. is so mad. Yeah. We break a lot of stuff.
Yeah, one of the owners, Corey, he lets us record in there, and every time he gives us this itemized bill.
Yeah, it's like, please stop wrestling.
Yes.
I said you could do podcasting.
Yes.
And then we're like, it's part of it.
Yes. Well, at least he is referring to it as wrestling, like we said.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's,
it took a while.
Yeah. He got that.
All right. We should do at least one email in this email episode.
I was going to cut away and take over.
I also
over
have another reason, too.
A topic.
I figured, like, vomit gray was the best color to reflect off all of our skin tones.
<That's> correct.
Yeah. That's very accurate.
So this email was sent over 6 months ago.
Wow. Has it been that long since we did an email episode?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Sorry. We did not respond to s'il vous plaît.
Yeah.
It is from Richard.
Richard.
Sent November 9th.
Rick. And, Dick. Richard.
And honestly, if we've already read this, we'll read it again.
Okay.
Gentlemen, that's us. I owe everyone involved in this podcast an apology.
Oh, I do know about this.
And okay. Also, like, I mean, also unstated is like this podcast owes everyone an apology.
Yeah. Also, your apology is 6 months late, Richard.
First off, and the one I owe the most is to Ray Harrington. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who sent in the email calling him usurper and coattail rider. Oh. It never crossed my mind how this would be taken. At the time I wrote it, I meant it to be a joking thing that you could all hopefully riff on. I never thought about it from Ray's perspective, and that's 100% my fault.
Oh,
I'm truly sorry for the hurt it caused Ray. Truth be told, I've always enjoyed his perspective and humor on the Chuck and Brad podcast, and Ray joining the pod was something I was looking forward to. I know the fact that I didn't mean to hurt with my words doesn't make them any better or the hurt any less.
Thank you.
Wow. This is a great apology.
This is also worrying me because it's 6 months old, and maybe now he'd be like, oh, no, never mind.
Or is it like a vicious thing and he's setting us up?
Oh, yeah.
That could be it.
I do, however, apologize. I am really sorry. I truly did not want to cause pain with what I said, and I feel awful that I did. Chuck, Brad, I also owe you two an apology. I was worried when you all announced you were closing the Chuck and Brad pod and merging to create Fun Bearable just because it was something new. Adding Ray to the podcast wasn't my concern. I was just worried about the format change in general. I had those worries pushed aside within 10 minutes of the first episode. You three have done a great job creating a fun and enjoyable three-man podcast that I greatly look forward to on a weekly basis. Richard.
Oh, wow. That's really wonderful. Yeah.
Richard, like that's a good apology.
Yeah,
that's,
thank
that's
you.
It's not a Hollywood apology where it's like, I'm sorry if my words hurt somebody, but this is
my apology.
It really is. Yeah.
You have that template saved in your emails.
I do.
It's a draft.
I do.
And you just always send.
I took a video.
Just insert text here.
I took a video of me going, and I just put it at the end of every apology email I send.
I feel bad because here's the issue. I think in a lot of ways, when it comes to communicating with people that are like podcasters, like people that watch or listen to this podcast, they see us interacting as friends. There's a lot of context that's in there. We're aware that we're performing because there's microphones. Sometimes we're real. Sometimes we're playful.
Right.
There's also a conversation before we start and after we start.
Yeah.
And the shorthand that we have can be something that people feel they're a part of. That happens with every podcast.
Yeah,
so there are podcasts that I'm a fan of where I want to be like, you know, here's a reference. Let me throw a reference in of that thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that can get lost in just plain text.
Sure.
It's happened with us.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You know, texting and, yeah. and being like, here's the tone I intend.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I really do wish there was, we need to come up with new symbols or a new font style.
Yeah.
That can show like ironic stuff or yeah. sarcastic stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like italics. We have italics and bolds.
Yeah, we do.
We got squiggly. Oh, something?
You know what? I think maybe, you know how there's the line through one?
Mm-hmm.
We should do that if, through, yeah. if it's like, don't read this part.
Mm.
That's what it's there
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll be like, hey, Brad, I'm so sorry. It's like,
or maybe we can
piece of shit, you deserved this. And it has the line there.
That's so like, passive aggressive. So nice. Like, I struck it.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it.
Also, the idea, you would be like, I got to respect the line. Yeah. I won't read it.
Was there a stet over it?
I think maybe we could reuse some of the existing symbols.
Right.
Maybe adding an asterisk now. Mm-hmm. Because it kind of means the same thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, here's the sentence, but also there's further context.
Yes.
You know what's not used often enough is the squiggly, like, set.
Oh, yeah.
You could use that and be like everything.
Brackets with a little nipple on it.
Everything in the nipple bracks.
Bill Sachs and nipple bracks.
And then Tony Braxton was in the doorway and walked away.
Everything in the nipple bracks is sarcastic.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
That's one of our rules in our wrestling club.
If you hold, well, it's if you hold your nipples,
yeah.
then whatever you're saying is not true.
Right, right.
So that's, you know.
So you hold your nipples yeah. and go, stop, stop. It's like, oh, you mean keep going.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me.
But Richard, sincerely, thank you very much. I really do appreciate the clarification.
Yeah.
You know, as much as anyone who makes a thing and puts it online, you have to just accept that sometimes there will be negative stuff that comes with that, negative
right.
comments and things like that. And I think being used to that gears you towards taking a lot of things
yeah.
that could be innocent as, you know, negatives.
I think a big thing is like, especially like, you know, because I've dealt with like some Tuesday with stories people since coming onto the podcast being dicks. Mm.
But and I'm sorry, but I stand by what I said.
I pay $3 a month. I get to say whatever I want to mm-hmm. you.
But sometimes people do say like stop talking, Chuck.
Yeah.
And they mean it as a joke. And they're just having
right,
fun.
Right.
But and like some of them, I've seen ones that'll be like, stop talking, Chuck, and then it'll have the asterisk in the bottom and said, just kidding, love you, love the show. And
yeah,
like stuff
yeah.
like that. Right. But like some people just do the first part and they just don't know how to express it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the other thing too is like I actually
they need those nipple bracks.
I yeah. remember the stuff that Richard wrote, and it was all very innocent, but I think that because there was a little bit of negativity, it just gets lumped in with the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
yeah
so even
yeah.
if his was so clearly a thing,
right,
it just
right.
kind of just gets balled in with
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when you send something you can't control any part of context.
Yeah. Right.
So
or
much
even
of
the idea
change.
Of what else is the person reading
that's
at that
what I mean,
time.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
yeah,
that changes
right.
the context of the
you're
thing.
Right, you're
and you
right,
have so. No intention of that, right?
Right, of course.
So it is really difficult. So Richard, again, sincerely appreciate it. Very happy that you're enjoying the show.
Yeah, he's been a great listener for a long time, too.
Or that you were enjoying it 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
We don't know
up
about
in,
now.
Up in the air now.
Because I will say,
this is right before the Gibby Thanksgiving
yeah,
rule came
yeah.
out.
That was the turn. They, you know how there's jumping the shark?
Yes.
Now there's gobbling the Gibby.
Gobbling the ghoul.
Yeah. Gobbled the ghoul. And then Tony Soprano's like, oh, did somebody say gobble ghoul?
Yeah.
Sorry. But no, I think that is a really difficult thing.
Yeah.
And I agree with Richard because I think we've ultimately been chasing the high of the first four episodes we recorded
yeah.
over a 2-day period.
He thinks that. You know that? He really thinks that.
I just said it. I say what I think. We what we like.
Well,
Apple
you
Jets.
Said ultimately we. I don't feel like that.
No, I know.
If I give our top five,
mm-hmm.
ooh, maybe Haunt Bearable would be in there, though.
Haunt Bearable to me is like the peak.
Really?
Yeah, I love it. I love it so much because all three of us are just like, all the pistons are firing.
I know.
And we're coming up with a thing that never would have existed before that episode started.
Yes.
And we're in this place that genuinely I was laughing
oh,
harder
yeah.
than in a long, long
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah. yeah. No, it's a
I like the
fun.
Episode where Mark Normand kept touching me.
Oh yeah, mm. That happened too.
Couldn't keep
that
his hands off
I thought
off
that
me.
Was behind the paywall.
Yeah. It's but I'm paying it.
Yeah.
Worth it. Yeah. Go back.
Guys, we did one email so far. Yes. This is great.
Yes. I know. Let's
all right.
Keep going. But here's thank you, Richard. Keep watching, keep listening, and we'll let you know about, you know what? Let's give Richard 6 months of our Patreon for free.
Okay.
Right. We don't have it, but we will do that.
When we have it.
Yes. 6 months.
Not the first 6 months.
No.
And not consecutive.
No,
not consecutive.
Every 4 or 5 months, you'll get a month or two for free.
Or maybe like half a month. And we'll, you know what I mean? 15
It depends on when bills are due.
Yeah.
Ray Harrington must content. This is from Tony, and it is sent 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hey, guys. My favorite episode of RHMC was the one with Ben Katzner. I really loved all talk about strange old comic book storylines.
Have
you thought about bringing some of that comic talk to Funbearable? I would love to hear everyone's takes on some of those storylines, or maybe coming up with your own script doctor style, pitch doctors. We all know and love the roar you know, but what about a segment called When It Pains, It Roars, where Brad can tell sad or mad stories about the many times people took something he said the wrong way.
It just happened recently.
Hopefully Chuck or Ray get to this email first so that Brad doesn't delete it. Just kidding. Thanks for all the great episodes. Looking forward to more. Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
Can I say something real quick before we do it?
Yeah.
It's so funny he suggested this because we've already recorded and it might come out before this. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The DC crossover Pitch
that.
Doctors. So we did a Pitch Doctors of the new Flash movie of like a DC crossover.
Yeah.
And Ray kind of leaned heavily into some fun, crazy storylines.
Yeah. I pull from real comic book events and characters and things like that that are very, very similar to the stuff we talked about on the Ben Katzner episode of Ray Harrington. RHMC was my old podcast, Ray Harrington Must Content. Ben Katzner, comedian living in New York, also wrote a comic book, a YA comic book.
Yes.
My Name is Poop.
Right.
And I got it for my son. My son really liked the book, which was great. So we talked a lot about comic books. I still pay for the hosting for the podcast, so you can go listen to that episode.
Well, maybe we should post it after the DC crossover episode.
Yeah, sure.
You
want
to do a bonus?
With Ben Katzner. It's a fun bonus. It's all comic booky.
Yeah, I mean, it fits right in.
For sure.
That's
cool. But thank you. I appreciate that. And I would love to talk more about, you know, the insanity of comic books.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. Because one of my things for a while was collecting comic books that had covers that just do not age. I think I've talked about this already.
Yeah.
But it's amazing.
One thing I would like as like a Roar You Know thing that ties into this is like, I don't know that much about the comic book code, but I know that for like a while, it's like it prevented what vampires from being called vampires, something like that.
I don't remember that.
It was, I think what happened was there was some issue where a comic book character, like a famous one, was addicted to heroin. And they had it on the cover.
Yeah.
And because of that cover, they started making the comic book code of what you can and can't have on a cover.
It was Green Arrow's sidekick.
Right. That's right.
Who was booting heroin on the cover of that one. That's one of the issues. That one is extremely collectible. I don't have that cover yet.
Yeah.
I want that cover.
Oh, yeah.
It's Green Arrow and Green Lantern
show up
to find him. So I think his name is Speedy. Which is weird because he's not Flash's sidekick, but it's an incredible one. I mean, that's pure '80s dare era where they're trying to be like, don't the drugs are bad, okay, all right.
I'd love to know more about the comic book code.
My favorite was in the Ben Katzner episode. Truly, my favorite one was the Hemogoblin was a villain.
Yeah,
okay.
The Hemogoblin.
Yeah.
Who was an AIDS allegory.
Oh, boy.
And literally would give AIDS to people.
Oh.
And he was the Hemogoblin.
Well, I mean...
I mean, it's funny.
That's you in the offices of McFarlane Toys. I mean, the little guy in your movie, he gives you AIDS.
You know, we've... we've done the George Lucas voice so much, but the idea of somebody who tries to type out the word hemoglobin, the medical term, and they have a typo, and it's how about the hemoglobin?
He does that, and then he looks over, and it's the 80s, and like Nancy Reagan's talking about like drugs, and people, like press, are asking about HIV, and she's going.
I love the idea because, like, if that guy did, like, get you,
yeah,
like, if he came in and he got you, you'd be like, oh, this stinks. It's not immediate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like,
yeah.
If you're in a fight, I don't know if it's going to really help you at the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a long
time. That's why he didn't
thing.
Last.
Yeah. I guess so. I guess. It's like he just got Dick Grayson. That
you know
one
who
time.
Defeated him? Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
This joke is old, but thank you, Tony.
Yeah. When It Pains, It Roars.
Yeah.
Great, great, great title.
Yeah.
Man.
You hate those stories.
I do hate those stories of accidentally stepping on conversational landmines that I don't know are there.
Yeah.
It's so hilarious.
But like that time you went to the UN.
Ooh. Yeah. It's like, oh, what's Angelina Jolie going to talk about? What?
I love it.
This table needs to be taller. Because in order, like, this is too short and the table's too low. And so if I'm up here having a conversation, it sounds like it doesn't sound great. So the whole episode, I'll just say, hey,
he's the hemoglobin.
I'm the hemoglobin. Yeah. Oh, no, it's white blood cells.
No, I do love when Brad says things and gets in trouble for him. It's just hilarious. Oh, there's nothing funnier.
Hey, guys. Oscar. It's Oscar again, but since we're reading these in reverse chronological order, Oscar. I was at a horror convention probably 6 years ago. I was dressed like a murderous pig man, of course, and I ended up running into a furry, which we talked about on a previous episode, who wanted to take a picture with me. When I thanked them and asked their name, they reached into a bag they had, pulling out a squeaky toy. This furry then proceeded to squeak the ball as a response to my questions. I then started to ask more questions progressively, making them more exciting, which made them squeak the toy faster while jumping up and down. At this point, everyone was staring at us and everything went silent, making those squeaks echo in the convention center. After a few minutes, that felt like about...
This is a metaphor for how Ray views talking to me. Yeah, he's pretty excited.
After a few
squeak.
After a few minutes that felt like about 35 squeaks.
A pretty woman walks by and it's just like squeak.
Yes. I know.
Felt like about 35 squeaks. His wife came yelling at him. I still have no idea what happened. It felt like a NyQuil-induced nightmare.
Yeah. That seems Lynchian. Like it would be in a David Lynch scene.
Yes.
Right? Like it's in the new Twin Peaks where he's in a convention center and he needs to talk to somebody and his only guide is like this shaman-esque furry that only responds in squeaks. Who killed Diane? Squeak.
And he's like, what does it mean? That's really funny.
Was it a... Also, how hard is it to communicate with the squeaks? Right. At some point, I want to be like,
one squeak for yes, two squeaks for no, right?
That one's easy.
That's awful, though.
That's weird.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you know... Like, at some point, I'd be like, do you know where the bathroom is?
Oh, you got to learn...
Squeak.
What's the...
Morse code.
Yeah, you can squeak in Morse.
Yeah.
Morse squeaks.
At this point, just...
Da-da-dee-da-da-dee-da.
If it's walking around...
Love
interacting.
Eiffel 65.
If the furry has a bag, a satchel, something like that, we're already saying, I'm not a full animal.
Right.
Unless it's the barrel that a big dog in the snow has.
Oh, okay, yeah. Is it filled with hot chocolate or rum?
Brandy.
Brandy, yeah. Shit. Yeah, it's alcohol. Okay. Yeah, hot chocolate. You're in an avalanche, and this dog comes, there's a St. Bernard shows up with the big barrel, and you taste it, you're like, it's cold.
Do you have another St. Bernard with marshmallows?
I thought it was still marshmallows from the snow. It's
the
heat, freezing.
Because back then, they thought like,
drink alcohol,
it'll warm you up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
But like, the
hot chocolate does warm you up.
the illusion is already shattered a little bit. There are cracks in the illusion
right.
when the furry has a backpack.
Right.
Yeah.
At this point, if you don't want to talk, fine. Get a dry erase board. Okay. Get one that's like a foot long and 6 inches tall and just write what you got to do. You know what I mean? Because yeah. imagine that. Fucking furry.
I know.
Like, just, like, in line to get food at whatever yep. convention thing it is, and they're, like, they're exasperatedly pointing at a picture on the menu.
Oh, they're, yeah. they're eating kibble.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Well, raw kind of, like, chicken.
All right, so, you know, you're Robert Englund, you're signing things, you're like, oh,
happy
God,
anniversary, yeah. bitch. Yeah. All
right. And then this furry comes up, and they're next in line, and they want their Freddy Krueger autograph. Who should I make it out to?
Bitch.
Literally, yeah, it could be. It could be. Yeah.
It's just that. All right.
Yeah. All right.
A little bitch. Offensive, but.
Sign Freddy. Yeah. Do you want a photo?
I don't know. He goes, I don't know.
All right. That'll be $30. Thank you, bitch.
You got to say bitch for everything. If I was Robert Englund, I can't think of a better, like, toothless bitch.
Yeah, for sure.
Not Robert Englund. I'm not saying Robert Englund is a toothless bitch. But it's so inoffensive for Robert Englund as Freddy Krueger to say bitch, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If I saw Robert Englund, I would want him to say, I want him to call me a bitch.
Yeah, of course. You know? Oh, without a doubt.
Is it welcome to prime time, right? Was that
welcome
it?
To prime time, bitch is a big one. Yeah. That's a big one.
Also, one of my favorite ones is the one most people hate. I can't remember which number it is. I want to say 5?
Uh-huh. Dreamwalkers.
And it's the one with
Dreammaster.
You forgot about the power glove.
Yeah, you forgot about the power. It is 5.
That's 5. Freddy's dead. Is 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. Yeah. So it's 4, right?
4 is dream something.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. I believe it is. Yeah. I love that one. The opening with the one teenager left in town.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, hits the barrier of the town and can't get out. Mm-hmm. And he's going through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And, like, I like that. I think that's fun. I think that's the right line for, like, fun creep. I think most people think it's when he went full Looney Tunes and wasn't scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that, I got to say, like, one of the things I love in the world of Nightmare on Elm Street is the pill that they take. What's it called, Brad? We know what it's called.
I,
there's a pill that they take to not fall asleep.
Yeah.
And, like, to me...
Cocaine.
Yes. To me, like, if I was going to make a movie or if I was going to have, like, make a couple movies, whatever, there's a few things I'd like to pull from other movies that are part of this world, and one of them is that sleeping pill. And another one, I've always said this, is that one of the stones from Stonehenge is missing in my film world because of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
And I think that'd be fun if people did more stuff that's like not really a direct reference. It's like a deep cut
that's
in the
background.
That's
always a fun thing. Yeah, that's so always good. Fun. Unless the whole movie is that.
Yeah, of course. It has to be just like...
Otherwise, it's Ready Player One. You know what I mean?
See, to me, I would want it to be like when a character goes in their medicine cabinet, they grab a medicine that's not that, but you see the pill bottle in there for that one. Yeah.
Those little Easter eggs.
Yeah. I love
like,
that.
Like, I didn't... I saw Ready Player One, and this is such an old review, I'm sorry. Wasn't for me, didn't care for it. There was some fun elements, but ultimately, it was just too much this thing. But there's a moment with the Iron Giant.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he comes in and he fights and he fucks people up. And I'm like, okay, fine. I had never seen Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah.
So I saw it with my son after that movie.
Yeah.
And the whole movie, the whole point of the Iron Giant is I don't want to fight.
Yes.
Does he fight in the movie? I don't know what he does in Ready Player One.
Yeah. He fights. He full on like does blasts and shoots and all the stuff. And it's just like, this sucks. Like, I was retroactively bummed out where I'm like, not only are you just blindly grabbing IP that you can take, right? It's in our warehouse. We can use it, right?
Right, right.
They are using it in the antithesis of what the thing is that the whole movie is about.
Yeah, that's really funny.
That's crazy. That's as if... that's as if in Back to the Future, Doc was constantly saying, I just don't want this DeLorean used as a race vehicle. Never let it be raced.
Right.
Right. Yeah. This is why we don't do a lot of email episodes.
Because we just go...
They become full episodes. You know, they turn into turkeys. You're right.
No, it's what's it called? Gibby. The Family Circus comic where the kid is coming home from school and has the trail like through the tree and all that stuff. That's us answering an email.
Yeah, yeah.
Nicholas from April, so like a month ago.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas. This is a good length. Hey, fellas. Love the pod. I listen to every episode almost immediately and most episodes more than once.
Thank you, and you're welcome.
I especially loved the panel with the voice actors from Disney. It brought back a lot of memories and nostalgia from my youth. I'm also a big fan of Pitch Doctors. I had an idea of one for Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness where he and America jump to the universe where the cast of This Is the End are filming, and to save the world, Doctor Strange gives them the power of the Avengers, and it goes about as well as you can think.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, that's fun. A great
that
idea.
Fun.
The one detail I'll share is that Danny McBride was Captain America, and rather than save anyone, he just kept shouting, Captain America kills people now, while firing a gun into the air with no concern for human life. I was equally impressed and ashamed of myself for this. Anyways, moving on. I think that's a great idea.
That's fun.
I also, I don't want to spoil anything, but we did recently do a Pitch Doctors,
right,
where what would we do if we were picking up the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise?
Yes.
And you're not going to believe the title of the episode. It's Pitch Doctors. I hate myself. Woo. You guys have been a bad influence on me. I now go for these jokes. Because initially I would do them only on the Chuck and Brad podcast.
Yeah.
Low hanging fruit jokes.
But you
guys gobble that fucking fruit up. And I'm like, now I find myself doing it even outside of our little ecosystem.
Here's the thing though. And we've talked about this before. I love comedy, and this is all types of comedy, especially movies, television, where like you don't know where everything's going to come from next. Like you don't know the next type of
joke. Sure.
That's like my favorite kind of thing. And I think the pun that we know is bad, there is something there that just keeps what I would call like if there's like a peak of like a real fun, clever joke, then it goes back down to regular conversation. The bad pun that everyone knows is bad keeps it like a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And it keeps the fun up.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
No, I understand. And there is a part of, like, I think I naturally gravitate towards, I do like the idea of the, like, the meta delivery thing of, like, knowing a thing is like that. Like, I like saying, you're not going to believe what the title, you know?
Yeah.
We should cut all of this. It's so behind.
No, this is great.
You know how we usually do, like, a peek behind the curtain?
Yeah.
And then we removed the curtain.
Yes.
There's also that curtain behind that.
Though there's a wall, actually. And we're in the alley behind the theater.
Yeah. Constantly bringing people back there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on back there?
We're doing a podcast. Wiped your mouth?
Let's get someone a blowjob.
Back to the email. On a recent episode, you guys talked about cringeworthy moments from your past, and it immediately brought me back to the rap/hip-hop duo a friend of mine and I created in high school. We created rhymes about video games, bustin' caps, and my 1991 Honda Civic. Never got a record deal from Dr. Dre, but that's just how the industry works, I guess. The main reason I'm reaching out is to talk about how much I love the concept of psychic trivia. After listening to the episode, I brought up the idea to a bunch of friends, and every one of them loved it. I'm not asking for permission, but I'm going to share this idea around a table with friends and alcohol and hope we can have as much fun as you all did right up until Chuck stole everyone's thunder at the end.
We played until you won.
I haven't decided a point system yet, but let Ray know the final question won't be worth the entire game.
Any game that does that, I'm like, oh, so we could have just done the last 5 minutes.
I hope you do another live show in Rhode Island soon, ASAP, and in the near future. Sincerely, a fun bear, Chuby, Ray, Zerblade. We'll work on that. Nick, P.S., if I'm losing, the last question will definitely be worth the whole game. I'll call it the Chuck rule.
Yeah. That's great.
I will say, that is great. I had nothing to do with that rule. Brad was a Brad rule all the way. I think he was just keeping it, you know, fun.
Yeah.
Walt does that all the time anyway.
Well, at a certain point, it's like, well, if someone's in the lead enough.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's clear, someone's going to win regardless.
I think that's the thing, is that, like, essentially, if someone's so far ahead, then at least your last question does have some stakes.
There's an edge to it. Yeah, exactly. Uh-oh.
But I love the idea of...
I read this email just now.
I love the idea of people playing psychic trivia. Please play psychic trivia.
Yeah.
And if you're like, hey, here's some ideas that we came up with that are part of it, write them in.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Funbarrelpod@gmail.com, because we're kind of in the process of talking through it and saying,
right,
how can we make it make really fun and make it the best it can be?
I agree.
This is from John. It's sent on April 20th. Hey, Ray, Chuck, and Brad. I really could have put Brad first. That's fine. I'm a relatively new listener that came over from TESD. I would like to thank you all for being...
That's Tom, Evelyn, Steve, and DeMarco, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good family. The swingers group.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. Evelyn is fucking crazy.
Tell him Steve Dave, the podcast.
I would like to thank you all for being funny and real and weird. I get a very relaxed vibe listening to you guys week after week, and you have even made it to listen to an episode twice in a week status.
Wow.
I was listening to this week's episode, and I thought it was pretty amusing. You guys were talking about being inspired by someone to make a thing, or at least realize these are just guys trying something. After all the silly scripts you guys read, I was inspired to write and record a little audio story. The name Multiverse of Bradness.
Yeah!
This already, immediately, I feel like I am on an Angel Fire website. And I'm like, what is this?
I love it.
Right? Like, you find out, like, a kid in high school has a whole, like, fanfic of the entire school. And it's just like, oh, this Blogspot is wild.
Yep.
This live journal is a mess. This live journal is evidence.
I love it.
The name Multiverse of Bradness kept ringing in my head. And as I went back to listen to Chuck and Brad stuff, I became fixated on the voice Chuck uses for Brad.
Great voice.
Do you want to do a quick thing?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'll kill you.
I'll kill you, son of a bitch.
Around this time, my wife was trying to get me to listen to a podcast about voiceover acting. Well, they had a contest and didn't pick me. I'm not bitter, but fuck them. It was a competition for complete amateurs.
That should be the title of a podcast. I'm not bitter, but fuck them. That's great.
It's funny.
And it's about missed opportunities.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't get this, or this was greenlit but didn't go.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. I like that. John?
TM, fun bearable.
Yeah.
We took it from John.
Sorry, it's ours.
Anything you write into our email is that's ours.
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
sure.
Your name. We're like YouTube.
Your last name.
Yeah. Your email address.
Yeah.
We can use that in anything we want.
Yeah. It was a competition for complete amateurs, and the first two contestants had been working in VO for years. Well, one had and the other for 6 months. So fuck them.
Against shams.
I'll write my own thing and be in that. I plan on sending you the file once completed. It will be an anthology series that follows our protagonist, Brad Staten.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
That's not going to be your name for two more years.
Oh,
and
God.
Brad goes again.
What a... Brad Staten. What a fucking homunculus.
Yeah.
What a golem of a creature.
And
I mean that in the Jewish
He's a real hemo goblin.
Yeah,
hemo goblin.
On some really weird tangents.
He's very sexual and feels terrible about it. Brad Staten.
Imagine if your guilt was near my penis.
Oh, no. It's too close right now.
You got your guilt in his ego, and it's all fucked up.
What's the opposite of a Reese's peanut butter cup? Because that's what's going on here.
It's just a Hershey Kiss wrapped in wet peanut butter.
That's just my penis. We didn't even add Brad yet.
Soft and mushy, and you don't want to leave it in the car.
It stains.
Hey, why do we do regular episodes? This is way more fun.
We don't have to think of anything for this.
And we just get to react and have fun.
It follows our protagonist, Brad Staten, on some really weird tangents and outlandish stories. The first installment will take place on the mean streets of Sesame.
I love how tickled you were.
I just like
tickled
that.
Tickled as Elmo.
Hey,
Sesame Street.
Yeah, I like it because I don't think I've ever heard Sesame Street referred to
as the...
Like
the
with just sesame?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's always been Sesame Street, where it's one word.
Yeah.
It's the first time I've ever heard Sesame Street and envisioned like a sesame seed, right?
No,
like,
it's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. I don't know why it broke my brain for a second.
That's right. And since you all inspired me, you have no one to blame but yourselves for this. Thank you all for being yourselves. Side note, I was listening to Brad and Ray besmirch Jersey and say that there is no New York, New Jersey, and I have to say that you are wrong.
Wow.
Oh, this guy's a pedant. This guy's a pedant. He's so pedantic. I was on your side, John, and now
actually...
I've never heard someone called a pedant.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
I do like that.
It's a good word.
If you're going to be called a pedant, it's better than other things that start with ped.
That's true.
I hate being a pedestrian.
Yes.
Or a pedometer.
My wife grew up...
Or a pediatrician. That starts with you know pediatricians, right? They like to look at naked children.
Oh, gross.
There's another word.
My wife grew up in Hudson County, New Jersey, in a city called West New York. That makes it West New York, New Jersey. Clearly has the four required words to fulfill the New York, New Jersey name.
Yep.
The funnerest bear, John.
Oh, John, I appreciate it. I was joking about the pedantry because I am also a pedant.
He sure is.
A pedant.
Yeah.
Let me be clear.
Please, sir, can I have some more? Pedant.
Pedant. Not pudding. This guy's a real puddin'.
He's a real puddin' head. My mom's original dog when she was a kid, I was like, what was your dog's name? She's like, puddin' head. And I think,
God,
the funniest thing ever.
I just immediately envision a 35-year-old dumb as shit guy named puddin' head. That's just me. I'm puddin' head.
Why did you point at me?
If you were like,
no.
If you were like a dumb cousin on the Beverly Hillbillies, I love it.
Puddin' head?
Puddin'
head. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who, me? No. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with me. Like, medically, there's... like, this voice isn't even making fun of anybody. I have no mental incapacities or nothing like that. I had many doctors look at me, and they said simply, I am clinically stupid. I'm just a dumb guy.
You'd be Puddinhead.
Puddinhead.
You just got a head full of pudding.
That's what the doctor said. They said I got a head full of pudding.
And you would have like a pot sideways on your
yeah, to protect my soft pudding.
I love Puddinhead.
Mama said the fontanelle didn't close up all the way. Didn't seal up. She said it up top is like a Pangea. It just won't close up. So I gotta be careful.
If
there's a hard rain, I black out for 5 minutes.
Get inside, Puddinhead. It's hailing.
Oh shit! Where's Puddinhead? He's hiding under the truck in the driveway. Why? It hailed 2 days ago. He hasn't come in. I'll be honest, I was under here for so long, I forgot why I was under here. I thought I was supposed to fix the car, and I looked, I'm like, it's just a bunch of tubes and boxes.
I love Puddinhead.
Yeah, Puddinhead's fun. I like him because we're not ridiculing
no.
anything.
No.
You know, Puddinhead is just an idiot.
Oh, I know.
I love it.
I think it is interesting. It's always been interesting to me that there's a line where it's like, dumb character, great. And like the yeah. further you go down that dumb scale, you're like, everyone loves this. America's totally. Then there's this specific line that you cross, and everyone's like,
hey, whoa,
what you the turn. Fuck is yeah, this? Yeah.
Oh, that's America's America's Puddinhead. That's me, folks. America's Puddinhead.
It's Brad with the pot on his head saluting, but he's facing the wrong direction.
With the General Patton giant flag behind
yes,
him.
That's
And then when he goes to leave, he thinks it's a curtain, and he's just going like, is it over here? Nope, is it over here?
Puddinhead.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
it's just to climb it.
Okay, I gotta go over. I'll go under it or over it.
I'm real good at climbing.
That's like the ass.
Puddinhead, you get off that flag.
He gets completely under it, and then Indiana Jones style, you just see his arm come out and grab the pot.
The pot. So was
Puddinhead.
Was Puddinhead like a thing a long time ago? Because my mom is 63 or 64, so if she was like 10 when she had this dog,
I think Puddinhead started.
I don't even know what you're going to say.
With a, like, fun, quirky pinhead.
I mean, Puddinhead was the title character of Puddinhead Wilson, a Mark Twain novel, or the lost 1916 film adaptation of the same title. Also a third baseman who played like in the majors. His nickname was Puddinhead.
Imagine if you were a pro athlete. And that was
that's your nickname. It was also a 1941 American comedy film,
yeah.
And it's a pejorative term used to describe someone of low intelligence.
Hey, now, wait a minute.
Can I ask you a question?
It has nothing to do with how smart I am. It's all about, I'm telling you again, this is all so soft up here. It's so soft up here.
I don't know if this is offensive or not. I have a question, though, a real question for you.
Sometimes if I take a hat off, it makes a suction and it goes up. I saw the movie Coneheads. Yeah. I saw the movie Coneheads, and I'm like, that's what happens when I hang upside down. I'm so soft up there.
I want a real question. Yes. God comes to you, right?
Yeah.
And you're in your house. It's late at night. Your wife and son are sleeping. Yeah. You're playing Zelda. He shows up in your living room.
Okay.
And he's like, Ray, you're so funny. You're so talented.
Thanks, God.
I'm amazing. You know, it's the devil. It's the devil.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute.
He takes off the beard and you're like, ah, red skin. I knew
it's totally me, God. I'm not the devil.
So the devil is like, you're going to be the most famous comic on earth. We're talking you know, Eddie Murphy in the early 80s, yeah. Like Seinfeld in the late 90s, like all these different things. But you're going to be Puddinhead Harrington. Yeah. Would you take that? Would you make that? That's what you're going to be known as.
I'm going to say no, but then in all honesty, if the devil disguised as God then shows me like the receipts, shows me the financials of being that wealthy?
Yes, that's what it is. That's part of it.
I'll be completely honest. For the sake of my wife and your child, family, my mom.
Your son is like your everybody. Son's going to go to college. His children are going to go to college. It's going to take care of your
right.
Everybody.
Like I will be wealthy.
Yeah.
At a level that is like I can do whatever I want. Just every once in a while, I have to put out a Puddinhead movie. Yeah. Right?
No. Your name
after
is,
this, Adam Sandler is the only person that understands me anymore.
No, you're,
we get together. We're
your
like,
name
you
is
get it.
Puddinhead Harrington.
Yeah.
It's so like you legally change your name.
I do the Puddinhead movies.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, like a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
It's my Madea. Puddinhead is my Madea.
I like the idea that, you know, you're like, I'm sorry, devil disguised as God. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And poof, disappears. And, you know, the next weekend, you're like, you know what? I'm going to stop by the Comedy Connection. And Chuck's on stage as Puddinhead Staten.
Yeah.
He immediately took the deal.
I come off stage and you go like, devil? And I go, no, what are you talking about?
No. I go, devil? And he goes, no, God.
God would reward me.
It was
for
God.
Being...
God. Didn't you think it was weird that he made you make a terrible choice? Oh, yeah, that is weird.
Not thinking back, he had horns and a pitchfork.
He did have goat legs.
He did have cloven hooves.
Yeah. Smell the brimstone.
I really do love this character.
Oh, character
Puddinhead is amazing. Any of our viewer listeners that like to draw or illustrate things,
sure,
Puddinhead is prime.
Brad with the pot in his head.
Don't make it just Brad. I think it should be Puddinhead should be like our mascot, and it should be an amalgamation of the three of us as one thing.
Once
that
we
is
get
Puddinhead.
To merch, I think a Puddinhead shirt is
or hat.
Yeah.
A Puddinhead hat with some kind of thing on the back that says, "Please be careful. It's very soft."
And you know what? It is. It's just a pot. Yeah, it's a pot that we're selling
like, please,
as a hat.
Honestly, be careful. Like, I cannot stress how soft the top of my head is.
I will say, I like the idea that originally like, my thought was like he wears a pot because he's stupid.
Yeah.
But you're no.
It's a protection.
Puddinhead, who are you talking to in there?
Huh? Nobody. God, the devil.
I gotta say, there's a lot of people.
Real quick, I'm sorry, I'm over a joke, and I'm literally rocking because of this dumbass joke. Puddinhead sees Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got two thoughts about this. One, how dare they steal my IP?
Yeah.
Two, that guy's a fucking genius. His head is so hard.
I was just gonna say, like, there's a lot of beings in Funbearaville now.
Oh, Funbearaville is getting pretty full.
Yeah. If I'm the mayor and you're like, you know, the treasurer, what's up, buddy? Come on in.
I like how he made himself the mayor just automatically. Like, I'm the mayor. There was no vote.
I'm in exile.
Is there usually a vote for mayor? I guess there is.
There is a vote for.
What are you talking? It was more like king. I don't
you
know.
Fucking dilettante.
So dumb. Oh my God.
Well, listen, I think we have so many more emails to get to.
Yeah. Yes.
And I know we've been occasionally doing these with full video,
right.
The emails, but we started the mail sack episodes as like audio only kinds of things.
Yeah.
We have so many emails. I'm going to posit that we go back to doing some audio only,
yeah,
so we can actually answer them.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
We should. I think we should do like once a month.
Yeah,
we'll do like a mail sack or something.
Our viewers and listeners a little more attention in that regard.
I agree.
How could we let Puddinhead live in a closet somewhere?
I know.
For months.
Yeah,
because we didn't answer that.
Right. I know.
You know.
Yeah.
Come to think of it.
Puddinhead.
I've never seen Brad and Puddinhead in the same room at the same time.
There's a lot of reasons for that.
I just don't like the guy.
You always have a little bit of protection above your head.
People think I keep the glasses up there and as an aesthetic choice. Nope.
Even it's indoors. So my head can see what's coming.
Even indoors. I could have eyes on the top of my head.
So dumb. Our guest for the next episode came in and is off screen right now. And this is what they think our podcast is. Is me they're going, gotta watch out for my fontanelle. Like,
they're frantically
insane.
Texting everyone in their phone, but please give me an emergency phone call.
And like, call.
Well, folks, thank you for watching and or listening. Yep. We're delighted to have shared this time in this hotel conference room with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to write in, funbearablepod@gmail.com or check us out on socials @funbearablepod. For Ray Harrington, for Chuck Staton, and for all the Puddinheads out there, I'm Brad Rohr saying thanks so much, and we're sorry for being funbearable.
Wouldn't they be Puddinhead heads?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a real Puddinhead head.
He loves him. He's a Puddinhead head.
Puddinhead.
When you said it that way, it changed it all. Now the head is different.
The shirt is someone leaning back in a car, and just the pot is
it's clanging against the steering wheel.
Oh, I got some pudding head.
Oh, God. Damn it. Brad.
Cut it out.
You brought the most disgusting thing to this podcast.
Cut it after the thing. Don't include this.